Welcome to BFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour as we continue to talk about the Gosnell case, where he's been convicted of three counts of murder, killing these children as an abortion doctor. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
If you missed the first hour, you've got to get it. We talk about CBN News is reporting what took place, but also with, you know, the original tent, all of this happened. Justice came because Christians prayed, and our founding fathers put together a document called the United States Constitution, the Sixth Amendment, that says that these children should have gotten justice, including Dr. Gosnell should have actually had it as well. And justice was served yesterday. Justice was served yesterday. We're going to be talking about, not kidding, hopefully get a chance to be able to cover that, but also about the statistics of what's taking place right now, that the Plan B pill that's out, they're wanting to be able to offer to children on the shelf without prescriptions. I mean, just an all-out assault on any children anywhere, including the parents who are raising them, on those children. But I got good news for you. Right before the dawning of the day is the darkest hour. Right before Jesus came on the scene, it was horrific what Herod was doing, King Herod was doing, and Pharaoh was doing before Moses came on the scene. This is a sign. There's a breakthrough. We're seeing light. The dawn of justice in America is beginning to rain down. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
It's just so encouraging, isn't it, Pat, to see that justice after even praying for so long and seeing, you know, you think, anybody care? Does anybody hear? God, are you going to respond? Mm-hmm. You know, and isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful. See justice being served.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's just the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. You know, before we go there, you know, Chris is also joining us that he was just sharing, you know, how important it is to understand that religion does not save us. Religion does not save us. Jesus Christ saves us. And religion is what put Jesus on the cross. Mm. Religion is what, especially when you start mixing religion and politics, when you start seeing, you know, governmental authority mixing with secular authority, mixing with the kingdom of God. I mean, they used that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Pharisees used the world's leadership to be able to crucify Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Roman government. But they were the ones doing it behind the scene.
Yeah.
It's evil.
Yeah.
Totally evil. As we start seeing these things mix, where the people are using the government to push out their agendas, understand this, that we're supposed to pray and live out the agendas of the kingdom and teach them. And people make a decision for Jesus Christ. And in that, all of a sudden, behaviors begin to change and all that.
Right.
Chris?
Hey, I was reading in, I got to get right in front of this thing. There's just like no variance. I was reading the other day in Luke and about the faith of the centurion. And the word says that the centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal a servant. And what just really stood out to me in that, just that part of it was, you know, the centurion heard of Jesus. He never saw him. He never heard him himself, mm-hmm. but he heard of him. And just through hearing the word, he believed.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, in which, you know, Jesus tells us later on when he's talking to Timothy, he says, "You believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe."
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know. And then, you know, the scripture goes on to talk about how, you know, he sent these Jewish elders, and the Jewish elders went to Jesus and said, "This man deserves you to do this because of all these great things."
Huh.
You know,
right.
And it's like, we don't deserve anything.
Right.
What are you doing? Why are you saying this? You know, we don't. You know, we are all sinners. You know, we don't deserve anything. It's God's grace and His mercy. Mm-hmm. You know. And then, but Jesus went anyways, mm-hmm. which made me think about that. I was like, well, you know, Jesus said many times, he says, you know, the word says, you know, Jesus knowing their thoughts. He knew the thought of mm-hmm. the centurion, what his heart was. So that's why he was going. But then while Jesus was on his way, the centurion sent his friends to go meet Jesus and tell him, says, you know, Lord, you know, I am unworthy for you to come into my house. You just say the word, and you know, I'll know my servant will be healed. And Jesus says, I've never seen such great faith in all of Israel. And, you know, God just began to open this up to me and show me how, you know, it's just not going to happen in religion. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing we can do. You know, many people are looking for verification of signs and wonders, you know, before they start to follow. And, you know, it's not about, you know, we're just supposed to believe and go. You know, we're not supposed to wait to see fruit happen. Faith is now, not after.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
You know, all these signs come. And,
religion is man's attempt to be righteous in his own works.
Right. Right. And so then the Lord reminded me of the scripture that says, where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, you go across land and sea to win a convert.
Right.
But then you put so much on them, you make them twice as much of son of hell as you are.
Twice as much. Which means they were, right?
They were.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, and that was just like...
Well, how can somebody who is in religion, somebody who's actually in the temple, you know, in God's house...
Well, he said, you know, on that day, many will say to me,
Lord,
did I not do these great and wonderful things?
You know, right.
And it's not about doing. It's about faith. It's about believing.
About obeying.
But upright, you know, it's about love. You're supposed to be walking out in love. We're supposed to be walking in faith, not looking at our works. You know, works is, you know, we've talked about many times, works is just a byproduct of your faith.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not about what you do.
Not earning anything.
It's evidence that you are.
Right. Mm. Right.
That's so good. You think about it, that means if you hung around the Pharisees, you not only become what they were, but you become twice as bad as they are.
Wow.
And the question is who do people become when they hang around you?
Wow.
People say, why don't I hang around people? they find out who you really are. Can people stay with you? Can they see you? They watch your life inside and out.
Mm.
If they do they actually begin to do things that God says don't do?
Right.
Because they see what you do.
Right.
Right?
Wow.
Twice as much. Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, just should... You know, God's going outside of the religious boundaries, you know, to be able to find those who believe and who will walk in faith. Because there's, you know, several times in the Word where he says, you know, to those who were outside of Israel, you know, the centurion and then, the woman, the Canaanite woman, who, you know, say even the master's, you know,
the crumbs.
Right, yeah, even the crumbs from the master's table.
Right. And, you know, she wasn't an Israelite. She wasn't one of God's people. Right. She was an outsider.
Right.
But yet, she had more faith than all of Israel.
Yep. She knew who he was, didn't she?
Yeah. So God's just going outside, you know, to find those who believe him. And he's looking for people, you know, like Moses, the deliverer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul, who was persecuted, but yet persevered.
Right. You know,
Joshua, who's going to hold up the hands of the apostles and not faint, not falter, not run away, not run away in fear. You know, God's looking for these people to stand up and believe and follow him and just believe his word.
All right. He's looking for a habitation.
Right.
And the thing about it is not that he didn't want to reach the Pharisees. It's just the fact that they thought they were reached already.
Mm-hmm. Right. They're so full of pride. I couldn't hear.
Yeah. And it's like, that's so sad because, you know, pride blinds you and you can't see. You're deceived. You think what you're doing is right when you're dead wrong, which should create humility in all of us to think, you know, I don't want to be so confident that I can no longer see.
Right.
I want to be confident in who Christ is in me. Mm. And, even with the woman with the issue of blood and all the disciples were around Jesus pressed in, and then you had the crowd around them. Mm. And then Jesus said, who touched me? And they didn't have a grip. And they wouldn't even let her come around anyway if they knew she was coming. And because she had an issue of blood.
Right.
And the law said this, and the Pharisees would have said, right. They would have said, well, the law says she can't be here. Therefore, you know, and it would have kept her away from God.
Right.
And she touched the hem of his garment the way the woman caught in adultery did. Mm-hmm. And they both, one was healed and one was, you know, forgiven. And that's so important. It's really important to understand that, and it's not that God is stepping outside of something. He's just finding somebody who wants him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we are the temple of God. You know, the he's looking to have that habitation with you. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, sad to say, quite often it is you're stepping out of the, and sometimes it's stepping out of the old wineskin, something that God had done, that people are still trying to connect to what God was doing. Mm-hmm. And they can even be right in the context of that. But God's not doing that anymore. And so God begins the new wine, and the two don't even cross. And he has to establish that outside of them because they'll actually destroy it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Right? He says, if you put the new wine in the old wineskin, they'll both be destroyed.
Yeah.
And so if you see God doing something outside of where you are, it doesn't mean necessarily that you are a son of hell, right?
Right.
As we're talking about, it could be the fact that you're just been identifying what God did do and he's doing a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be willing to let go of all that he did for all that he's doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and behold, the Lord is doing a new thing. That's what he does. He begins to pull out totally up from where he is, and he just keeps going. This is the thing, is just be hungry for God. You know, look for God wherever you got to go, whatever you have to do for more of the Lord. And that's a good word, man. That's a real good word. I appreciate that. Well, you know, talking more about the Gosnell case, where yesterday that an abortion doctor in America was convicted of murder because the children were born alive. And the law states that if a child is born alive on an abortion doctor's table, a murdering doctor's table, that it has constitutional rights and it's a patient has to be taken care of. And that was passed under George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was convicted yesterday by a jury of his peers, according to the Constitution, the Sixth Amendment in the Constitution. And he has 3 counts out of 5 he was charged with. He was convicted of 3 counts of murder, first-degree murder. And so he could be facing the death penalty or life in prison. And a lot of people have been praying. A lot of things have happened. This is let the decision stand moment that continue to pray. And you know, this is things going to continue. But I think about, obviously, everybody's talking about abortion and things that are happening. But I'm wishing I had more of a preparedness because I have a future program that we're going to be doing, but some of it is, you know, it really began not in 1973. It began in the 60s, and it began with birth control, with the ability to, you know, some interviews that you'll be hearing in the future on VFN radio, the ladies themselves saying, you know, prior to birth control, most of us were sexually pure. We were all virgins because we were scared we were going to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But once we had the ability to control whether we were going to have control birth, then the sexual revolution came. But then they found out that birth control doesn't always work, and so mm-hmm. they had to live with the ramifications of the sexual revolution, and they started having these children. Well, then they had to find out. What they began to do is begin to abort the children wherever and however they could.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a clothes hanger quite often where they would reach inside of their womb and pull out the baby. Mm. But that's what the doctors do now.
Yeah.
It's just not a clothes hanger. It just happens to be forceps,
right.
A drill, a pair of scissors. And Gloria Steinem, they were trying to find someone to be able to pin a case on so that the decision stand. They could find a case, they could make a case, and that they make a case, then all the decisions would stand on that and they could work with this case. And a particular lady had died, I believe, in New York trying to do her own personal abortion in a hotel room, and they had pictures of her. And so she took pictures of this lady that had killed herself trying to kill her baby and put it in her magazine. Mm. And with that, people's hearts were stirred for the woman, but not for the child.
Right.
And so that began the whole movement towards, you know, finding a case. And finally they found the particular lady, and her name is not Roe. But they found her and grabbed her and ran with her all the way up and made a case, and they took it to the Supreme Court. And she's a Christian today, but she was used at that point to get their case because they were working for a long time. So what happened in 1973 was a lot of work that was taking place in the 60s, which you have, and during that time, you have Hillary Rodham Clinton, you have Gloria Steinem, you have, I could list them all day long. I bet we are not prepared for that part of the program. So really, it began in the 60s. They say like 1963.
Wow.
But it's the late 50s when the birth control came on to the scene. And Gloria Sanger, that was part of getting this pill produced, her goal was to eliminate part of society. That was her goal. And she was wanting to do away with particular people in our society. And today, what Gosnell's doing is what Sanger had in her heart to do. That's what she wanted to do. And so that spirit even still lives on from 1959 or 58, whenever the, you know, this thing came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
That here it is, that same spirit is going through Gosnell, and African-American children are being killed by an African-American doctor. That same, that's just racist. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that was his patients. Reportedly, they're saying that's all he had his patients.
All right.
He's killing African-American children. And as you heard earlier in the first hour, that the African-American pastor is saying that, he said, I noticed that I had women that came into my church on Sunday, one Sunday, and they'd be pregnant, and they'd come back the next Sunday, and they wouldn't be pregnant anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he was starting to realize that they were going to Gosnell's clinic.
Right.
And it's like, my goodness, what is happening? You know, what are we doing in the context of this? Well, now they're having organizations. It's called, there's a story, it's called on CBS, this is last Sunday, in regards to just the two of us, childless by choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually see this on The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on The Torch and watch the whole program. Of course, they started with the Duggar family.
Right.
And the Duggar family is not childless.
Not at all.
I think they have 19 children, the Christian family, and a great example. And people are drawn to what's right. Isn't it amazing?
That is amazing.
And they just avoid what's wrong. They started with them, but now we're looking, this is in 1970, they report that one out of 10 women were childless. In 1970, today, one out of five women are childless. One out of five. And they've developed organizations called Not Kidding. And the purpose of it is these couples saying, it's all about us. We don't want any kids. They're finding another man or woman to marry who doesn't want kids either. And they want to spend all their wealth and all their life and all their time just on them.
On themselves.
On themselves. But the question are these the children of the Gloria Steinem generation?
Oh, wow.
They said, listen, my mother didn't even want me. And it's like, what's going on now? It's just this whole mindset against having children. And I think about, you know, the author of the book, What to Expect When Nobody's Expecting. And he talks about how the birth rate has to be maintained at a certain level. And if it's not maintained at a certain level, then you lose the nation. Mm-hmm. You totally lose a people group. You lose the nation. And in that, we are under that birth rate in America. So it's just a matter of time before And that's why you're seeing an immigration take place. America will not survive. And America is a land of immigrants outside the First Nation people, the Indian people that are here. And that if you cannot sustain your nation through birth, then you have to sustain it through migration. And but when you do it through migration, you change who you are as a nation. So basically, you're just sustaining a piece of land, but you're not sustaining your identity and who you are. And that's why you hear people talking about, you know, when you come to America, you need to. That's why we took the U.S. Constitution test, mm-hmm. and you need to be loyal to America. You need to defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. You have to swear to that to be a citizen. You have to renounce all loyalties to princes, kings, potentates, and all this. That's all part of the pledge that you have to pledge to come over here. The thing about it is we're not taking that seriously enough because people are coming. They're more loyal to anything other than America. Mm-hmm. And now we're faced with a dilemma, you know, if we're not going to have children, if we do conceive a child, if we murder the child in the womb, I mean, think about 50 million taxpayers that would be on the tax, paying taxes today.
That's right.
50 million. We only have 300 million Americans here. So imagine 50 million paying. That's a huge, we would have no problem with the baby boomers retiring to take care of medical needs right now if we'd have decided to have the children.
Yep.
But you might not have had so much in your 401k because it would have cost you to have a child and to raise that child.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com. Providing resources on your rights in the workplace. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
As a coworker, I have a colleague that is on an FMLA, and I'm just wondering, what are the restrictions of me to that colleague? Am I not allowed to ask any certain questions?
You're talking about someone on the Family Leave Act?
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, there's a complicated issue when you got, it's not just the Family Leave Act. There's other federal laws that are at play in a situation with an employment and working over the weekends and Sundays, and there's a question of what's called reasonable accommodation. Can an employer make a reasonable accommodation? Those are the kind of things you have to ask in these questions. Let me give you a great resource, though, to go to, and that is our website. We've got a whole section dedicated to these issues, so I encourage you to go to aclj.org to get some information there.
Learn more about your rights in the workplace at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Man, I know that you listen to VFN Radio
every day, like clockwork. If I do miss the morning, guy, I love to see, I hear you guys bright and crisp in the morning. Man, it's a fresh revelation, man, to hear you guys and to hear what, you know, the news behind the news. I love Brother Greg, man. You know, he's hilarious. You come in right there with him. I feel in my spirit that it's everybody should have an opportunity to really listen, even if it's just once, man. And
well, that's great. Let me ask you, what would you say? You know, what would you say to other people about VFN Radio? I mean, I know you listen to it all the time, but as far as, I mean, what's kind of the main thing that you get out of it?
Believe it or not, I get more knowledge and wisdom through listening to the BFN radio. I can't explain it. It's something that I just don't see that anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so when you get to hear the stuff that's happening behind all the political hoopla, because to me that's what it is, you know, It starts to wake you up. Your spirit wakens up even more. These prophetic words.
Yeah.
Well, we like that are coming to light, you know.
Exactly. And that's what we're seeing. And that's what I love about what God is doing on the face of the earth and what he's doing through VFN Radio and the opportunities that we get to share. But I'm encouraged that you're listening, that you're getting plugged in. And
all
you're
the time.
And you're plugging in others, yeah. You know, because we, you know, who knows how long we have left. I mean,
absolutely.
To use this medium for the glory of God and to connect people to the Lord and get a fresh word. We always say that
You're right. You know, I just said that to some. I said that today to somebody. I said, you know, we got to live for God like He's coming tomorrow.
That's right.
Because if we're unprepared, then we're the ones that are going to be left behind. And there's no excuse. If you're serving Him, then serve Him all the way. Dive in head first and just continue the journey, because it's an awesome journey. I mean, I look back and reflect on my life and what I've been through. And how He saved me from death at 33, and how He's brought me all the way to where I'm at now. I'm like,
that's a beautiful journey.
You know, there's just no way that I could have been. I could have done this on my own.
Well, one day we're definitely gonna get your testimony for VFN
Radio. Oh, I would love to.
But thanks for coming on in, man. God bless you.
God bless you.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wonder if there's anybody real. You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you, because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything. And I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ. That He is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that He can. And He wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your Heavenly Father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him.
Think about more so, you know, in closer to our time, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a minister in Georgia, you know, that he was a pioneer. He believed that it was time to apply the Constitution to every man in America. He didn't favor one over another. He just said, listen, there needs to be justice for everybody, including the African American who was not being treated fairly, and didn't, their constitutional rights were being denied. And he just began to be a pioneer. I mean, I think about the commitment card when he had people that would join him in his standing up for civil rights and doing what's right. I love it. We got to make this part of the torch. But we have to have the mindset, because where we're going, we're gonna have to be pioneers in this generation. You don't quit. You know, when somebody says, you know. We'll talk about that in a minute. But listen to this pledge. This is the pledge that he had everybody sign. This is the commitment card. If you were going to walk with Dr. Martin Luther King, a minister, a Christian, you had to sign this. You put your name, your address on it, your next relative, and all this kind of stuff on it. But the first thing he says, I hereby pledge myself. And these are the ones for those generations that don't know, many don't know in this generation, that you hear in your history books, but it's real, that the African American was not only enslaved, but once the Emancipation Proclamation was signed and the executive order from President Lincoln, that there still was racism rampant all over this country, injustices, you know, things like separate but equal, and they were, you know, it was just evil, pride, racism, and all this. And so there wasn't fair justice for all. Everybody didn't get the fair justice. And so he said, listen, there needs to be civil rights for all. For everyone. And he's a minister. He did it in the love of God. And this is the mindset we're going to have. We're going to have to be a pioneer. But, you know, we can grab a hold of what, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King had in his heart. And just listening to his niece talk, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. You know, and she's a minister today. But you had to sign this pledge. This is the pledge you have to sign. If you're going to march with me, if you're going to walk down the same street with me, if you're going to say you're part of what we're doing, this is what you had to sign. I hereby pledge myself, my person, and body to the nonviolent movement. Think about it. Very first thing. Therefore, I will keep the following 10 commandments. Number one, meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus.
Wow.
You know, you had to abide to be with Dr. King.
Wow.
Wow. Is that not awesome?
Yeah.
It's like, you're not marching with me. I don't have it. Go through those commitment cards. Go through that Rolodex. So, you know, back then you had Rolodex. And stuff. Go through, go on a fight. No, Malcolm, you're not part of this because you're violent, right?
All right.
No, Black Panthers, you're not part of this because you're violent. But what I'm doing, you got to sign a commitment card here. Mm. And the first thing says, you got to be abiding with Jesus. Mm. Is that beautiful?
Yeah.
So everybody that was legitimately a part of that movement of civil rights movement that what Dr. King was leading, he's a pioneer now. He said, you know, you put this card together and this has, people have to commitment card. So the first thing was meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus. The second one is to remember always that the nonviolent movement over, he's going to reiterate that because the fact is that, you know, as Christians, and he was a Christian, when you read the Quran talks about making preparations for war. That's totally opposite of us. We don't make preparations to war in the name of Jesus. Although the Crusaders got way off in the Dark Ages, that was wrong. Mm-hmm. And we're just supposed to walk like Dr. King set an example to be able to walk, but he's, and obviously like Jesus. He says, remember always, this is the second one. This is the commitment card for walking with Dr. King and what he was doing. Remember always that the nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory.
Oh, wow.
How many times I saw these guys, you know, who they label everything, but they label, you know, this is the conservative movement, you know, I wish, you know, but, and all of a sudden something succeeds and the arrogance and the pride and the victory marches. And it's like, you know, is that what we really want as Christians? Now, I'm not talking about people that aren't Christians, but as Christians, mm-hmm. Dr. King said, listen, that's just beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if any, the injustices that was happening to the African-American that happened to, in his sight, I mean, it's a horrific thing that happened to him, but just happened for, since the beginning of America. And he said, we're not trying to aim for victory. Listen, as Christians, victory's already been received for us on the cross of Christ. Mm-hmm. So we've already won already. Now we're supposed to walk rightly before the Lord. So he says, remember, this is number two, remember always that the nonviolent, and listen, you got to get this because don't let the bully pulpit of Washington get you to do wrong things. I don't know what the particular title of that segment is, but you got to, don't swing. Don't let them push you to do evil because this is Dr. King's got it. This is, he has it right here. Remember always that this nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory. And justice is beautiful. I mean, God says in his word, he says, no one cries for justice. Oh. And that's where we are today. And the reason why I believe that men do not cry for justice because they feel like they're going to be having given a life sentence because they're sinful. You're sinful. We don't understand that justice was served out on the cross of Christ. So when we begin to cry for justice, it runs us to the cross of Christ. Because in Romans chapter 5, God said, to prove that I'm a just God and the one who justifies at just the right time, I offered up my son as a sacrifice. So justice, when you begin to cry for justice, you start looking, you know, it may start off where you're pointing your finger at somebody else. And then you'll have this Holy Spirit flash of your need for a savior and your sin, and you just start running. Oh my goodness, this cross I'm preaching, I better run to it quickly.
Which way to the cross?
Have you seen the cross? Have you seen the cross? Not in that church. Not in that church. Anyway, so, and I think that's beautiful. So when we understand that, once we can cry for justice, which is putting things back in their godly, rightly order. Number three on the commitment card for being able to walk with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and this card was written, by the way, in 1963. It's pretty interesting to me. That happened to be the year that I was born.
That's right.
Oh, now you know I'm not 29. Anyway, so, and then he says, number three is walk and talk in the manner of love, for God is love. Mm. I'm like, yeah, this dude was so awesome that you want to hang out with his niece. Yeah. And then, isn't that amazing? You know,
yeah.
He's like, you were hanging around with him. I mean, people have used him and promoted themselves off of him, but the people that walked in the same spirit as this, you know, with him, are they're just, it's just beautiful. And this is it. And this is, we're this conservative movement. We need to go back, and we need to, everybody said, we need to have Ronald Reagan. No, you don't have Ronald Reagan. You need to have Dr. King. We need to go back and look at Dr. King, not Dr. Ronald Reagan, and go look at Dr. King and say, that's who we need to, the church now. We need to model ourselves after him, mm-hmm. and what he stood for and what he walked for, because it was just, it was beautiful. And it was horrific, but his heart was beautiful. Number four in the commitment card that you have to sign if you're going to walk with Dr. King is pray daily to be used by God in order that all men might be free. I mean, think about that. Do you know Dr. King today, based on that commitment, he probably would be disturbed over the fact that we're turning over all these nations to radical Islam and putting people under servitude, because that's the opposite of what he wanted. That's not what he wanted. He was wanting freedom for all men. For all men. Isn't that beautiful? And it's like, you know, we're not okay with just putting people in captivity. That's not what we want them to be free. And then number five is, because Jesus came to set us free, right?
Right.
Then we have number five on the commitment card to walk with Dr. King is sacrifice personal wishes in order that all men might be free. Now, number four was daily pray to be used by God in order that all men might be free. Now, number five is now you're praying about all men being free, I want you to sacrifice personal wishes in order that all men might be free. What does that mean? Well, just lay down your life.
Right.
Lay down. If your generation has to lay down for the next generation, and when you hear people say things, and I mean, you got to be a fool not to understand what's going on in America, because there's a lot of complicated issues going on right here because of the mistreatment of the African American in America that. You can't just throw a blanket statement over this. Somebody would say, one particular, I'm not going to say who it was, just made this statement. They said, it's not about Obama, it's about your mama. And what he's saying was, my mama's been mistreated. My mama had to do this. My mother had to do that. She marched with Dr. King. She got all these freedoms. She stood up for what's right. She went to jail. She did all these different things. And I understand that. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. And we're a fool not to get that. But then we have to bring that in the paradigm of, okay, but let's look at everything. That are we meditating on the teachings of Jesus? Is this the right direction that we're going? You know what I'm saying? So it's very complicated, and it's complicated in the context that we're getting turned in on ourselves. What's happening is just all kind of turning in on ourselves. And our hope is right here, what we're reading from Dr. King's pledge card and the Word of God. But then he says in number six, he says, observe, I really believe that our president right now, President Barack Obama, you know, based on a study of his life done by a professor in a New York university, I don't know if it's Christ's King, I don't know what
King's.
Say it again?
King's College.
King's College in New York. I think he did a documentary on his life, Obama 2016, I believe it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel early empathetic. You can understand, oh. But then you start thinking, wait a minute, this is not your experience. He does not have the African-American experience in America. It's not his experience. That's the African-American's experience.
Mm-hmm.
But we're a part of that. You know what I'm saying? And there, right. So this is what I believe. I believe this. I feel it in my heart. I believe that the prophetic word spoken by Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, where he said, because of the oppression of the African-American, that the revival, and I'm believing a third great awakening would come to America being led by the African-American people in America. But see, what happens first is the counterfeit shows up first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe he has the same story. You know, Kichara and I were talking about that at the gathering, and she was reminding me of my own words, and she's right, that, you know, born wherever, lived, you know, Indonesia and Kenya and, you know, all these areas. And that's not the American experience. That's not the person who's coming from generations, as did most of the African-Americans that are American. So I believe, you know, I want you to hold on. Don't slam your doors on what the enemy's trying to twist. be ready for what God's going to do to the African Americans in America. It's going to be exciting, I believe. But in the context of that, I mean, look what he did through Dr. King as we're talking now. Then number six in the commitment card that you have to sign to be able to walk with Dr. King was observe with both friend and foe the ordinary rules of courtesy. So you had to be nice not only to your friends.
To your enemy.
But you had to be nice to that. Oh, my goodness. I mean, if you watch the videos and the pictures and this guy standing with a billy club over your daughter.
Yeah.
Who signed this card. So she's going like, oh, what was the card? Da-da-da-da-da. She's thumbing through her mind. What was this commitment again? You know, and then she's
a dog on a leash.
Oh, yeah. Then the dogs and the fire hoses.
Yeah.
And you're struggling with, am I willing to lay down my life? Am I willing? This is how we, the church, are going to have to do, because Dr. King, part of the church, you know, minister in the gospel, a Christian, he understood. And look what he did. He turned an entire nation. You know, it cost him his life. And we have to be willing to do that. I mean, there's a reason why streets and holidays and everything is named after Dr. King, because he was a pioneer. A pioneer that says, listen, it is just time. And so then not only observe, number six, observe with both friends and foe the ordinary rules of courtesy. We were just talking about the 10 commitments, the 10 commandments on the commitment card to be able to walk with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And they're just powerful, powerful. Aren't they powerful commitments?
Yeah, powerful. I mean,
this is the heart we have to have. If we're going to transform ourselves, if we're going to transform a nation back to where its original intent, just holding them to what's on the paper, as Dr. King said, you know, we need to take the same mindset as a man, those that have walked before. He says, imitate those that have gone before. He's a pioneer, pioneer. We need pioneers for this generation. You know, what does it demand from us? And I look at the seventh of the 10 commandments, the commitment card that you had to be able to sign. It says, seek to perform regular service for others and for the world. Is that why? I was like, my goodness, how beautiful are these 10 commandments to be able to be a part of the civil rights movement with Dr. King? Just beautiful, beautiful. The eighth one is refrain from the violent fist, tongue, or heart.
Wow.
That's just beautiful, isn't it?
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, we were just talking about that, you know, the bully pulpit, be careful. And he totally, this is an apostle. This is a pioneer. Dr. King was a pioneer, an apostle, and then all the evil strongholds that had racism and all that stuff hated what this man was standing for, which he's standing for God and what was right and freeing a people from oppression and racism and injustice. And so then the ninth commandment of the commitment card walking with Dr. King was strive to be in good spirit and bodily health. Think about it. Strive, in other words, make an effort to, when we're walking down the street together, I mean, you got to do some physical exertions here, where if we're going to do what we have to do to stand for what's right for the Constitution and do what's right before and treat all men well and all these commandments he's talking about, then we got to be in physical health. We're going to do some walking. We're going to be pressed together in different situations, and you just don't know. I mean, you know, we can be so out of shape that we just step off a curve and throw our back out. That's a little ridiculous. You know, we got to get in the physical and spiritual health for what's about to take place. And I encourage you to begin to think about, you know, make sure your body's able to handle where we're going. Make sure your spirit is strong enough to do what you got to do what God's called us to do in our generation. And then finally, this pioneer, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the 10th commandment of the commitment card you had to sign to be able to walk alongside him. And this totally throws out all these twisted mindsets that the people are trying to change what his heart was. He says to follow the directions of the movement and of the captain of a demonstration. In other words, you had to be a person under authority. You can't just go do your own. I mean, who's leading this particular event, this movement, and then you follow them. Isn't that great?
Wow.
That's good.
And then you would put your name, your address, your phone, your nearest relative, and their address. Think about that. What is the doctor, when you go into the doctor's office or you go into a hospital or an ambulance or something, what do they say? Well, who's your nearest kin, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't know if you're going to make it or not. I mean, if you're going into a place of danger, a place where you're going to be threatened and you're going to be peaceful, Jesus, we saw, he got nailed to a cross.
Yeah.
You know, we saw what happened to Dr. King. We saw what happened to many of our brothers and sisters in America, and understand that they were ready. They were ready to lay down their lives for the cause. And then it says, besides, in the very bottom of the card, it says, besides demonstrations, I could also help the movement by, and it says, circle the proper items, run errands, drive my car, fix food for volunteers, clerical work, make phone calls, answer phones, mimeograph, that's like make copies, everybody.
Okay.
Type, that's keyboarding, type, print signs, and distribute pamphlets or leaflets. Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
That's totally awesome. And it's going to take pioneers. It's going to take pioneers to be able to do. He's an apostle, a minister, a Christian, a beloved son of the Lord, obviously, that God would touch him in such a way to just shake a nation and bring justice back. And listen, that's his heart. And that's God's heart. What he put on that card, that is God's heart. And so I'm not saying that God was lining up with Dr. King. I'm saying Dr. King was lining up with God.
Right.
And so not to line up with that is us not to line up with God. That is the mindset we got to have.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back from VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat. We're going to be continuing part 203 of the Dr. Ben Carson interview on Life Today. I'm just a brain surgeon who just has a understanding of God, understanding of America, and it looks like it's going to take a brain surgeon to get us back on track, who loves God and has honored God. This is part 2 of the interview. You got to listen to this. And you can see the whole thing on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Click on the torch on the right and watch the second part in full.
As a physician, I'm very interested in healing the organism. But it doesn't do any good to heal the organism and then put them into an environment that's sick, because they'll be right back there. And so you're taking care of these wonderful little children, but then putting them back into an environment where their future is in jeopardy. And, you know, I like to look at the big picture here. You know, a lot of people say, you're a doctor, you ought to mind your own business. You have no business talking about taxes and economics. You know, you only should stick to doctoring. And what I always say to them is, it's not brain surgery, you know? But you know, we do need to heal that environment. We need to make sure that the people in the next generation have the same opportunities that we had. And we can't do that when we're destroying the economic foundation of our nation. You know, you have a very, very powerful nation. How do you bring them down? Believe me, our enemies have asked that question. You know, the Romans were in the same situation, extraordinarily powerful militarily. No one could challenge them. But, you know, through their military expansionism, they began to strain their budgets. They couldn't figure out how they were going to take care of all of this. They started coming up with all kinds of schemes and accusations in order to be able to take money, particularly from the rich. They destroyed the underpinnings of their society, and they destroyed themselves from within. And if you were trying to destroy America, how would you destroy America? You probably would not be able to do it with bombs and missiles. But how about destroying the economic infrastructure of America? And this is something that we have to be careful that we do not allow to occur. And, you know, I'm not accusing anybody of trying to destroy America by destroying our infrastructure, but I'm just saying, if I were trying to do it, that's how I would do it. The values that a child receives at home are the ones that provide that child with their identity. All children look for a basis for their identity. And if they don't get it from home, they're going to get it from someplace else. Too often, it's with peer groups and negative peer groups. And now we also have layered on top of that political correctness. Political correctness is rampant, particularly in our schools. You can't mention God. You know, we have a scholarship program. And, you know, our theme is think big. And we put these banners up. And each letter means something special. The G is for God. And some people said, you can't put that up. In fact, some lawyers came to us and they said, you can't put a think big banner up in a public school because the G stands for God. And that violates the First Amendment, separation of church and state, and we can't have any government-sponsored religion. Well, I reminded them that the First Amendment also says you can have no government suppression of religious expression. So we had a rather vigorous argument. And I suggested that we resolve it at the level of the Supreme Court, which seems bold and reckless, but it really wasn't, because I knew the next week I was going to the Supreme Court to receive the Jefferson Award. So I figured I would ask while I was there. And I did. And just as Sandra Day O'Connor said, they were all wet. Of course, that was not a violation of the First Amendment or anything to do with the Constitution. And of course, you could put it up there. And, you know, people who come up with this silly stuff, what do they know? And they try to tell us that the people who founded this country were not really God-fearing people, that they were deist people who believed that God just put things in motion and left everything. All you have to do is go back and look at some of the letters and the prayers of George Washington. Mm-hmm. Look at what Thomas Jefferson said, James Madison, John Adams, Sam Adams. Look at all of these people. And look at their writings. That's why we included specific quotes in the book, America the Beautiful, so that you could see what these people said themselves. And you can't come up with that stuff when you see it right there in writing. And we need to believe. Don't buy the people who try to rewrite our history. The fact of the matter is, this is a Judeo-Christian nation. We have Judeo-Christian values. We care about each other, and we need to emphasize the godly principles of loving your fellow man, caring about your neighbor, developing your God-given talents to their utmost, having values and principles that govern your life. And if we do that, we will maintain our position in the world, and we will truly live up to our creed of one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, I think if we listen to what Benjamin Franklin said, and some of our other leaders, I think the hope is extraordinarily bright. I think God blessed this nation because we had God-fearing men who were involved in our leadership, and they were people who were willing to sacrifice themselves. You look at somebody like John Hancock, who was an extraordinarily wealthy person. He was willing to give everything he had, you know, for this country. There were many people of that ilk. Benjamin Franklin developed a lot of wealth. He was willing to pay for the Boston Tea Party to assuage the anger of the British, you know, with his great fortune. There were all kinds of stories like that.
You do know it was politically incorrect for you to say that.
Of course.
We have editorial discretion. We can't edit that out in order to maintain your dignity and your posture.
All right. I tell you, I don't want to get into how much I dislike political correctness. Oh, me too. Because I, I believe that it is an artificial muzzle that is placed on our society to keep us from discussing the pertinent changes that are going on in our value system while they are changed. And all of a sudden, we'll be somebody else and we won't even recognize who we are. And we do ourselves great disservice when we are unwilling to speak up for what we believe. But you know, Benjamin Franklin and these guys, that was the reason that we went from virtually nowhere to the pinnacle of the world in no time flat. That's the reason that Alexis de Tocqueville came here in 1831. Europeans were fascinated. How could a nation barely 50 years old already be competing with them on virtually every level? This is unprecedented. It's unheard of. And yet, it was going on. And, you know, he looked at our systems. He looked at our educational system, our government. In the end of his two-volume set, which is quite enlightening, he concluded, America is great because America is good. Mm-hmm. If America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great.
My goodness, man, we are just, time is flying as we're talking about what God has been speaking to us over the seasons and preparing us. VFN Radio is so about, you know, what we are, mm-hmm. you know, about and how to get this to you. And listen to this, because it's available under highlights, you can send this into your Facebook to your family and your friends. You know, we believe that America is a byproduct of Christians who sought out a land to be able to worship God. And in due season, it progressed into the United States of America. And you can tell that when you read the Constitution of the United States, when you read the Federalist Papers that they wrote back and forth to each other before they actually formed this, and the standing of our founding fathers and what they stood for. And but the documents alone, the very First Amendment says, don't mess with how we worship God. Mm-hmm. Because they came from the, you know, Church of England and the oppression that was happened there, the queen and the king. But the queen was just over the church because they merged the church and the government. Mm-hmm. And so to say, well, I don't believe that way, because the government became one with the church, it's called treason to them. Mm. So they commit treason. It was treason, so they behead you.
Oh, wow.
They behead you. Can you imagine if people got beheaded for switching churches? Anyway, so the... but that's where they came from. Listen, that's the reason why the First Amendment says that. It's like, don't mess with my relationship with God. There's no, the Congress, who is the one that's supposed to make laws, not the executive branch. The Congress shall make no law concerning the practice of religion, period, or the gathering of coming together, you know, gatherings of peace. And so that's something that we have a right to do, and it's written in the Constitution. It's time for us to really, you know, get up with that. And understand this, that this is a warning sign. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.